from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. Many residents in the St. Louis area are reeling from a tornado that left 5 people dead and dozens injured. St. Louis resident Peyton McCulley told St. Louis Public Radio how he survived the terrifying natural disaster.
Before the tornado even happened, I was talking about like how I'd never seen a tornado come through St. Louis, like the city part. And then as we were getting closer to home, which is around the corner, the tornado, we had to pull over because it got too dark and we couldn't see anything. So we had to pull over, and then the tornado just came right through us. And I guess something fell on the car and made the windshield go through. And we had to duck down until it was over. And then we had to get out and run.
The storm damaged thousands of buildings, has left people without power for days, and knocked down trees throughout the region. This was the first tornado to hit the city of St. Louis and cause fatalities in more than 65 years. St. Louis resident Fred Falker says he's never seen anything like what happened on Friday.
Not even close. We've had trees, branches, big branches fall in the past, but nothing remotely like this.
In the tornado's aftermath, federal, state, and local officials are trying to help with cleanup efforts, but the recovery effort is going to take a long, long, long time. Joining me now to provide an update on where storm recovery efforts stand is St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis. He was one of numerous STLPR reporters who spent the past few days covering the aftermath of this storm. Chad, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Chad, if people were not paying attention or were out of town over the last few days, can you tell us exactly what happened on Friday afternoon and where this tornado passed through?
Yeah, so it was around midday, between 2 and 2:30 when the tornado kind of hit the St. Louis area. And it started like around Clayton when the tornado hit. And it primarily started to move northeast across the city. So I'm sure tons of people saw photos and videos of Forest Park being devastated by, you know, the trees that fell into the basin. And then it really went into the Central West End and then North St. Louis. So Central West End was hit pretty hard. North St. Louis was pretty much devastated, especially around Fountain Park, the Ville, O'Fallon, and it just continued to go northeast.
How strong was this tornado, according to what you've heard from the National Weather Service?
Yeah, so the NWS said it was an EF3 tornado. And so thinking about like miles per hour, that's around 150 miles per hour or so. So, I mean, these were unprecedented winds, unprecedented tornado that hit the city that, like you said, we hadn't seen in decades. Very powerful.
Public officials say the storm killed 5 people, injured several dozen others, homes, particularly in North St. Louis, completely destroyed. Mm-hmm. And how did that devastation affect efforts to rescue people who survived the storm?
Yeah, well, you know, when you have these trees that have blocked off roads, that have, fallen on homes and such, it's really hard for a lot of rescue teams to go through. So I know there were like around 17 or so search and rescue teams or so that the fire chief had said had came out. It's difficult because you just got to go through all this rubble, all this debris, and all this mess, and it's hard. It, you know, obstructs you from actually being able to help and save people.
We want to hear your story. How did the storm last Friday in the St. Louis area affect you? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK, or email us at talk@stlpr.org. Beyond the property damage and loss of life, tens of thousands of Ameren UE customers were without power over the weekend. Representatives from the utility company are now expecting it to take several more days to restore power. Just how daunting of a job is this for Ameren's workers?
Yeah, so their priority at first is, you know, and it makes sense, hospitals, nursing homes, fire stations, police stations, trying to make sure that they're back online and that they have service. So that's what they went to first. But then, because you have these fallen trees and you have, a lot of obstruction when it comes to trying to go to the homes and buildings, it prevents them from being able to go forward. So I actually did go on their website prior to right now, and about 30,000, maybe 27 to 30,000 people are still without power.
And that's down from like 115,000 at its height.
Exactly, exactly. So a lot has been made, a lot of progress has been made, but yeah, there is still a lot of people without power in the city.
You mentioned trees, and you spoke with Central West End resident Willow High on that subject on Friday. Here is what she had to say about how trees were affected depending on where they were in the in her particular neighborhood.
Luckily, this street actually just cut down several very large old trees because they were just needing it and planted smaller ones. All of the streets down that way that have really, really big old trees on them are, it's devastated. It's really sad.
That was Central West End resident Willow High talking to St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis earlier this weekend. Chad, what can you tell us about these downed trees that have made life miserable for people throughout the region?
I mean, homes are now destroyed. Like, there are so many homes that were, or trees that were uprooted that have collapsed onto homes in North City and the Central West End that I was able to see. You have trees that have destroyed cars and vehicles, trees that have just obstructed roads. I mean, the Central West End and North St. Louis, I mean, there were lines of fire trucks that were just going through on Friday that, you know, luckily some of the people, neighbors, were able to take some of the trees and move branches and kind of clear out the roads. But I mean, so much of that area was obstructed.
Tornadoes are not unusual in the St. Louis region, but they, as we mentioned, are very rare in the actual city of St. Louis. You were out in the field. You saw some things with your own eyes. Just tell us how unprecedented this was.
I haven't seen anything in the city like this as far as a tornado. One of the people I spoke with, Fred Falker, he said he had lived in that house for about 42 years, and he's never seen a storm like this. I mean, usually when you think of like tornadoes in the St. Louis area, you think of the county, you think of more rural areas in Missouri or
St. Charles, Jefferson County, maybe even parts of the Metro East as well.
Exactly, exactly. So you usually think of tornadoes hitting a lot of less urban areas. So the idea that this kind of hit St. Louis, I think maybe it was 1959 was the last time.
My dad was 1 year old when he lived in Olivet, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And so that was the last time that a tornado had caused this devastation in the city. So to think that there are, you know, people who've never seen something like this, it's pretty wild.
I've seen a lot of questions, particularly on social media platforms, about whether sirens went off to alert residents, especially since the tornado came very suddenly and very quickly. Here's St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer answering a question on that topic this weekend.
This is a serious issue. We're taking it seriously. You know, we are looking at our internal protocols, looking to see what happened, what might not have happened. We are continuing to do an evaluation, but that is an important process here. We're focused right now on the response and making sure that we are really addressing human safety at this point, but that is absolutely on our radar to be addressing, and we'll have answers for you on that soon.
That was St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer on Saturday night talking about sirens warning people about the tornado or not warning people about the tornado. Chad, did you hear anything from people you talked with about whether they were prepared for this storm, or from talking with other St. Louis Public Radio colleagues? Did they hear that people didn't get warning about this?
Yeah, well, I can speak for myself for sure. I live in Tower Grove South, and I did not hear tornado sirens go off. Now, I did get an alert on my phone, and then I did hear coworkers mention the same thing. And then when we were in the field, some of those reporters even shared that they talked to people who said that they didn't hear sirens. And I believe some did, too. It's confusing right now as to kind of what happened, where people did and did not hear sirens. But I think it all took everyone by surprise.
And I believe that Mayor Spencer said there'll be more information about whether the siren system worked, I think on Tuesday, from what I heard from a previous presser. We're talking with St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis about his coverage and our colleagues' coverage of the deadly tornado that ripped through parts of St. Louis and St. Louis County and the Metro East on Friday. And we want to hear your story. How did the storm last Friday in the St. Louis area affect you? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Spencer said she expected the tornado caused about $1 billion in damage, something that the city would need to know before applying for federal emergency management agency related funds. I saw a press release from Governor Mike Kehoe that that process is in route right now, that he has talked with federal officials. But some of the costs may be related to like tree removal, relatively minor repairs. But what are officials and nonprofit groups and religious organizations doing to help people whose residences are uninhabitable? And especially with the bad weather we're expecting either today or tomorrow.
Yeah, so there are a lot of groups that have stepped in and have offered, you know, assistance and services. So the Urban League, especially the location in on Kings Highway, which was actually hit or was like in the path and suffered some damage, they're kind of one of the central hubs for accepting donations and such. The Red Cross has about 3 shelters, I believe, across the city, and they've been taking people in as well. Grace United Methodist, Action St. Louis, several other groups as well that have really kind of like come together to try to either raise money, provide shelters. And a lot of these places are also accepting donations. So if you have water, if you have food, if you have some things that can go towards families and people who are staying there. I know that they greatly appreciate those things and they really need it.
Speaking of FEMA, I have seen from several public officials that officials from that agency will be in the on the ground in St. Louis to do damage assessments, I believe, in a couple of days.
Yeah.
Congressman Wesley Bell said on Saturday that Missouri's federal delegation is working on delivering needed resources to the region.
A disaster declaration will allow us to utilize federal funds through agencies like FEMA to help rebuild our region. And we need to make sure that we find every dollar from every grant, from every state program, and every couch cushion to help this region.
That was Congressman Wesley Bell of St. Louis County from earlier this weekend. Chad, from what you've seen, do you think a full recovery will be possible without federal involvement?
No, not at all. It's so devastating. I think, you know, as far as, you know, what the governor has called for as well, you know, he's asking for, you know, emergency declaration for the state of Missouri, a federal emergency declaration. He's also asking, you know, that would provide about like $5 million in immediate funding to state support to help preventive measures for emergencies. I think without any type of federal funding or involvement, it's going to take a very, very long time to really bring North St. Louis back.
Especially since there could be some homeowners that don't have insurance.
Exactly.
Or even if they do have insurance, the deductibles on some of these policies could be thousands of dollars.
Absolutely.
Which they may just not have right now. It seems like that is going to be the type of assistance that is going to be vital for people who especially are underinsured, don't have insurance, or have insurance and can't pay for the deductible.
Absolutely. I mean, this is what these services are for. You know, this is what, you know, these types of assistance programs, you know, we need those in this area.
Let's go to Margaret from Ladue. Margaret, thank you for calling today. What's on your mind?
I grew up in the Central West End, and I remember the tornado that came down Maryland Avenue. I think that this tornado damage was worse than the tornado that hit us in 1959.
Do you happen to remember, like, what the response was from local and state and federal officials? I don't know how old you were during that, but did you see, like, all hands on deck mentality when that happened?
Well, I was about 4 years old.
Okay.
I remember my parents being very upset at the tornado, and I remember the apartment building at the intersection of Maryland Avenue having the entire rear wall removed, and how amazing I was as a four-year-old that all of the bathrooms were above each other on every single floor. I never knew how apartment buildings looked. That's the four-year-old's perspective.
Well, Margaret, Thank you so much for providing us with that historical perspective. And again, we want to hear your story, and we want to hear how this storm last Friday in the St. Louis area affected you. Our number is 314-382-8255. Chad, this is just an observation, but having seen some of these disaster briefings before from political leaders, I found both Mayor Spencer and Governor Kehoe provided a lot of specific information, particularly about what each layer of government was doing to deal with the damage from this storm. I think you attended a couple of these briefings. What was your kind of takeaway from how useful they were to the public?
Yeah, I think any information is better than no information. And they were really on the ground immediately, just, you know, a few hours after the tornado, you know, hit the region. The mayor, several representatives, police, fire, really giving briefings. I mean, they estimated the amount of people that were killed, who were injured, the different search and rescue teams that were going out. You know, I think that the detail that city gave was critical, and I think it's really helped to kind of figure out where we go next and what needs to happen.
So I've been talking with a lot of people within the world of politics, and I know that a lot of elected officials are stepping up behind the scenes. I know that a lot of labor unions are donating supplies. I know that a lot of Ameren linemen, who are union members, are working their tails off to make sure that power is restored. What are some of the ways that you have seen community show up, sort of organically, or just beyond just political or governmental response?
A lot of people going out into North City and helping move trees and helping trying to clean up. There's a lot of that in North City, a lot of that north of Del Mar. People in the Central West End, there were people who were neighbors on Westminster Place. I think I spoke to a contractor, actually, who doesn't live there, but he was there already, and he was just chopping down trees and trying to get things off of cars. Community has just come together. A lot of people donating water, food, yeah.
I know that there, I guess Mayor Spencer mentioned this about self-deployment, and there's, I don't want to say controversy, but maybe some upsettedness on social media about those comments. I think it was around the fact that some of those areas are very dangerous. There may be live wires. There may be buildings that may be collapsing. But on the other hand, I also know that, like, people helping neighbors clean up after disaster is a very common response everywhere. So, like, what have you kind of heard about the whole concept of people trying to help spontaneously?
Well, it is a good point that when you're around live wires or unstable structures, I mean, there's an inherent risk in that you can get hurt or really, you know, killed even. So I think a lot of people, I think the city was trying to say, hey, be careful because we do have emergency personnel, but emergency personnel is already trying to help people who are already hurt, who are already trapped, who need to get out, who need to be rescued. So in that instance, you know, try to stay indoors if you can so that we can go out there. But, you know, when you see, it's hard to, you know, ignore people who are already hurt or who need that assistance and that help. So I think that's what a lot of people were responding to. Hey, my neighbor's hurt. Hey, my neighbor needs this. I need to go out to my neighbor. So I think that's what happened.
The Midwest Newsroom's Holly Edgel mentioned something poignant in her report that we played on Sunday, that the tornado affected people north and south of Del Mar. And to demystify that for people who may not understand the reference, and I'm sure everybody who lives in St. Louis does know what I'm talking about, the Del Mar Divide is often seen as the dividing point between white and black St. Louis, and in many respects, rich and poor St. Louis. So I think what Holly was trying to say is this has affected people rich and poor, black and white, east, north, south, west, everybody. But I do know there is a long history of governments leaving behind the north side in black St. Louis. Do you think that those fears are warranted here, or is it just too soon to know for sure?
I think it is warranted. It obviously the tornado hit Central West End, it hit North St. Louis, it hit black and white people and predominantly black neighborhoods in North St. Louis. And so I think the fear is, okay, well, even though we were all hit in this area, what is the response going to be? If North St. Louis has already been disinvested for so long, for decades, you know, is there going to be a change? I think there are a lot of people who are concerned about that, who are worried about what's going to happen to those homes, those neighborhoods. And I think they just, you know, just looking at history and seeing what has happened prior, those fears are very warranted.
I think that it might also bring up using the Ram settlement to rebuild parts, particularly of North City and the Central West End. I think that if that does end up happening, I think there are going to be big questions on how that's executed, who would benefit from that. But I say who would benefit from that, would the people who lost their homes completely and maybe can't get access to FEMA-related money or state-related money, would that be something that could be used to help them? I think these are unanswered questions. As Mayor Spencer has said, we're still in like the recovery effort of this storm before we start talking about next steps. But I do think we need to like put those down as markers now that that response is going to need to be watched very closely.
Definitely.
Well, Chad, thank you so much for everything that you've done and spending the weekend covering the aftermath of Friday's St. Louis tornado. For all of our coverage, make sure you go to stlpr.org. Make sure you go to St. Louis Public Radio's Instagram page for photos, video, and vital information about recovery efforts. Chad, thank you so much for being here today, and thank you so much for your great work over the weekend.
Thank you for having me.
The Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air is produced by Jason Rosenbaum, Alex Hoyer, Emily Woodbury, Danny Wisentowski, Maya Norfleet, and Elaine Cha.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.